You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Thursday, day after the Pelicans get a much-needed victory over the Los Angeles Lakers in fairly dominant fashion. We're going to break this game down. Who are the main players? Because you got a big performance from Anthony Davis, but at one point, maybe he wasn't the most important player on the court for the Pelicans. This win also kind of shows us where this team might be heading, what they might look like post All-Star break, as we now don't have a game for about, 9 days, something like that. Next Friday against the Miami Heat at home is going to be the main victory. So you've got to be happy with what you saw last night, but we got to talk about some of the other key contributors to that win as well. We're also going to take a look at the standings in the cluttered, muddled up Western Conference playoff race, break down some of these teams where they stand at the trade deadline as well. We got a lot to cover and jump into in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So the Pelicans got a big win right before the All-Star break with a 139-117 victory over the Los Angeles Lakers, a game in which they really dominated almost from start to finish despite having their lead whittled away, which is okay, I guess, a little bit. The biggest lead they had in the game was 24 points, but basically led wire to wire in this one, and they came out firing. This looked like an entirely different team than we've seen after the DeMarcus Cousins injury, and we're going to talk about some of the coaching that Alvin Gentry's done. We give him a lot of flack, and I have as well, and that criticism is deserved in my opinion. But then we also got to give him some props and build him up when, you know, he's done something good. And I think this is some of the best coaching he's ever done here in his tenure in New Orleans over these past three games to kind of get these type of performances out of some of his players. Emeka Okafor drew a last-minute start. It was announced that Mirotić would be starting alongside Anthony Davis, but the Pelicans made a change moments before tip-off to Emeka Okafor. And that move, Okafor in that starting lineup, has proven to be very key. We talked about this yesterday, and how it adds that kind of versatility for the Pels. It lets Mirotić come off the bench, and that was key in this game. But let's talk about the first half before we get to that, because it was much more key in the third quarter. But the Pelicans controlled the pace from the onset and were trying to run and score in transition, hit their shots, while also playing very strong defense against this Los Angeles Lakers team. But offensively, the Lakers couldn't keep anyone in front of them, and you saw guys driving to the rim, the correct passes being made. Rondo was all over the place. And then just craziness happened en route to the Pelicans putting up 46 points in the quarter. Rajon Rondo and Isaiah Thomas started jawing at each other. They both got technicals. And then about 30 seconds later, while still kind of jawing at each other, they each received another technical and were thrown out of the game. So you had ejections right off the bat. Rondo played 8 minutes, just 8 minutes and 18 seconds in this game, and looked really good during that time. He had 4 points and 6 assists to go with 3 rebounds. He was trying to push the pace, get the Pelicans in transition to run and score and get some easy buckets. And then maybe did the Pelicans a favor by getting Isaiah Thomas ejected. Thomas, who only had 3 points on the night, could have been a spark plug for the Lakers off the bench. That ejection is when the Lakers went on a bit of a run. They had 6 straight points due to technicals. A three-pointer made with an off-ball, away-from-ball foul. Someone maybe got held or what have you, so they got a free throw on that. Then they got the ball back, got a two, and then another free throw on the foul. All of us, or just the two, and then you're looking at a 6-point swing. That all came back later in the game after Luke Walton was ejected in the first half as well, which gave the Pelicans 5 straight points. I think Anthony Davis shot 5 straight free throws at that point, making all of them. But the Pelicans controlled the pace from this game, and clearly they dictated everything, including who got thrown out and who didn't. Though I will admit that those refs were pretty awful and on a very quick trigger last night for any sort of talking. Not know that kind of jawing with someone can get you ejected from a game. So That things were looking good. The Pelicans' lead kind of got whittled away. They came out in the third quarter and looked very sluggish and slow then. That's where you get concerned. We've seen, we know the struggles with the Pelicans in the third quarter. This one, though, why they were struggling was the Lakers made adjustments. I don't know if it was Luke Walton talking to them in the locker room at halftime because he couldn't be out on the court. But they played Anthony Davis much more physical. And this is why you want a big bruising center, a guy like a bigger body to kind of draw some of these assignments in Emeka Okafor. AD does not do well when teams defend him very physically. It takes him out of the game. And Davis struggled to start the third, and the Pelicans kind of followed his lead and struggled as well. Enter Nikola Mirotic. Mirotic was 0 for 6 on the night, comes in off the bench, and then has one of the better moments of play for a short period of time. He had like a 2 or 3 minute stretch where basically hit 2 threes, blocked 2 shots, was grabbing rebounds, running all around. For a guy who finished or who started 0 for 6 in 30 minutes, Mirotic finished with 16 points. After the 0 for 6 start, he went 7 for 11 on the night. He started to feel it going. But more than that, he was active. That's all you need. Sometimes you need guys to just be aggressive. Where AD hits a slump in the middle of a game, and then it just takes him out of it because he stops. He settles for long-range jumpers. He doesn't really seem to care. He's not looking to try and score. Mirotić was the exact opposite last night, where he wanted to go out and play and score and just kept shooting no matter how bad things were going for him. This was ideal. It sparked the Pelicans during a time where they needed a guy to step up, hit those shots, make those shots, and just make some damn plays for the team. And after that, it got Anthony Davis energized and back into it. This is a team that we've seen all year really has their energy go up and down depending on kind of how things are going. You need a guy who can be kind of consistent throughout everything. And Mirotić kind of was, even in the face of adversity, when he wasn't playing well, he was just going to keep shooting. His aggressiveness was consistent throughout the entire game. This is a needed guy for this Pelicans team, and I like the idea of him coming off the bench. Pre-game, Alvin Gentry said, hey, we still are going to start Okafor at times, we're still going to start Mirotić at times, it's just going to depend on the matchup and how we're kind of feeling about the team. I think that's okay. You've got to wonder if Mirotić starts the third quarter and he's still 0 for 6 and everything's going like that, if he has energy to kind of spark this run for the team. He comes at that point, he's out of the game, likely on the bench getting a breather when he would have been making these shots and having that incredible little streak that he had. So he's really the hero for the game, in my opinion, of this one, because without him, I think the Pelicans kind of get into a slump and maybe just kind of nosedive the rest of this game. Let's take a moment to hit a reset here before continuing on about Anthony Davis and his performance in the game, because this really does feel like a turning point for him, and he said something that definitely should make you all think as much after the fact. But I want to give a plug to Vox and the Hound, the local indie rock band who does the intro and outro music here for Locked On Pelicans, and their lead guitarist, Rory, is also a writer over at LockedOnPelicans.com. They got a show this upcoming Friday over at the Three Keys, over in the Ace Hotel. It's 600 Carondelet Street. This Friday the 16th, the opening band is going to be Tyler Skurlock of Shark's Teeth, and DJ Heel Turn is going to be spinning before, after, and in between sets. The show is free and starts at 10 o'clock. It's a pretty cool venue. I've been there a number of times. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you get out there and support local indie music and local bands, particularly bands that are big Pelicans fans. So I hope to see you there Friday for 10 o'clock. So over the past 3 games, Anthony Davis is averaging over 40 per contest. It's actually 41.3 in repeating. That's pretty great, and that comes on the heels after 2 lackluster performances, the game against Philadelphia where the Pelicans lost by 18 and were blown out, and he only had 14 points on the night, and then the blowout loss to Utah where the Pelicans lost by 24 and he only had 15 points. And it seems like he's kind of had an up and down run of things since DeMarcus Cousins went down. And it's been disappointing because this team, as we know, is only going to go as far as Anthony Davis takes them. And at times it doesn't seem like he really wants to take them anywhere. Certainly not what you want to see from your star player whatsoever. And then he mentioned after the game the other night against the Lakers here, about a conversation he had with DeMarcus Cousins. And let me read you the quote. Anthony Davis said, I was trying to kind of do what DeMarcus did, getting a lot of guys involved. I was playing indecisive a lot. I was thinking too much. Actually, he called me. He said, "What are you doing, man? You just need to go out there and be you." Then he told me, the coaching staff told me, the team told me, "I've just been going out there and playing aggressive." And that quote comes from Will Guillory of the Times-Picayune, the NOLA.com beat writer for the Pelicans after the game. This has been exactly the problem with Anthony Davis that we've said. And you've got to wonder if playing with Boogie kind of... Look, Davis is a quiet guy. We know this. He's a little soft-spoken. He shows emotion, but he's never quite been that like vocal leader that you really want to see on the court necessarily. He is in the locker room. People respect him, and he leads by his play and by example, I think. And, of course, I'm not in the locker room. I'm around the team, but I don't know specifics for sure. But at times, it sounds like he's kind of there. He's just a dude, like one of the team. And he's not, you know, the alpha guy, which you'd like him to see, though I hate that phrase. And I think that's kind of caused him to be passive at times. And, again, this team feeds off of him and his energy. So when that's not there, it really drops it down a level. But then DeMarcus Cousins stepped in and kind of naturally filled that void with the type of personality that he is and the type of person that he is. And Anthony Davis kind of maybe ceded that role to him. Davis was the best player on the team, but was he the passion, the heart of the team? Maybe not. That seems like it really might have been DeMarcus Cousins, especially the more you see this. And then with that quote from Davis. And then Davis steps in and stops being himself and tries to do other different things to get people more involved, to kind of play off the ball a little bit, to let others get their shot. And that's not what he should be doing. Shoot, that isn't even what DeMarcus Cousins was doing. He would just kind of be the piece that got those guys the ball en route to being aggressive. His passing was an aggressive aspect of his game. And we all know that Anthony Davis is not nearly the passer that DeMarcus Cousins is. So to see him kind of take that backseat role to struggle in some of these games and not really be the impactful player that you would have liked to have seen, you know, was really disappointing. And it's not what you wanted to see whatsoever. Yes, he had some good games, but you can't really tell me in that loss to the Clippers in that first game back after DeMarcus Cousins went down that he felt truly impactful to you. Put up good numbers, 20-something points, yeah, but he was doing this in bad losses in games where you felt he needed to step up more and not rely on that mid-range jump shot as much or play with kind of all that energy. And he did it tonight. He kind of went reverse of it the past couple of games. You know, against Detroit, he was playing out of his mind well. He disappeared for about a quarter and a half against Brooklyn, but really finally stepped it up in overtime and dragged this team to a victory, a 10-point victory in overtime. That's how good they looked in that second OT. And then last night against the Lakers was absolutely dominant in every way. 42 points, 15 rebounds. He was 10 of 11 from the night. From the line, and he was 15 of 18 overall with two threes made. You can't ask for much more than that than from Anthony Davis. That was a pretty perfect performance from him. Dude missed four total shots that he took, one from the free throw line and then two from the field, and made his two threes, back-to-back threes, which really kept this momentum and this scoring going. It's exactly what you want to see out of him. And unfortunately, these are the performances that you have to get from him right now with DeMarcus Cousins being out injured. This playoff race in the West, which we're going to talk about in a moment or two here, is tight. You need dominant performances because right now your margin for error is so slim. A loss takes you out basically of the playoffs, and a win might even put you closer. Again, we'll talk about the standings to the 4th or 5th seed. This is nuts right now. What is going on here in the Western Conference playoff race? And Anthony Davis has to be the one that keeps the Pelicans moving forward. Now on a 3-game winning streak with some momentum, they really kind of have that. You get a couple of days just to relax and chill. Davis is going to obviously be at the All-Star game. I believe head coach Alvin Gentry will be as well. And while the players are going to get some time off, and it sounds like they really, really need it, and for a team that's got guys playing very high minutes, particularly Davis and Holiday, getting this extended rest for some of these guys who aren't really going to be out in LA or participating in things and can just chill for a little bit is definitely going to be a needed thing. But they'll also get some practice time in. They'll be able to work through some things, particularly Mirotić, Holiday can maybe get on the same page. And a few other things like that are going to be very important for this team. So before we look at the standings, I'm going to plug it again, as I've been plugging it a lot recently, and there's for good reason. And maybe I'll tease it a little bit here, but make sure you listen to the Locked On NBA podcast. It's once a week, but it's going to be expanding to more than once a week. It's going to be expanding to 5 days a week. with a different cast of kind of rotating hosts. And it sounds like nothing set in stone just yet, so this is all subject to change, that I'll be on there hosting it on the Wednesday edition along with a co-host. So we'll be having fun talking all sorts of NBA just in general and having a good time looking around the association. So make sure you listen to the Locked On NBA podcast and get your fix of NBA action all week long. So the Western Conference playoff standings are fairly wild. When you look at the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th seed, really, even though some of them are tied there, the Pelicans and Denver, you've got 5 teams with 26 losses. You've got one team with 25 losses and one team with 24 losses. And it goes to show how close these teams are to each other in the playoff standings. So like I said in the previous segment, The margin for error here for the Pelicans is not a whole lot, because you've also got Utah, who's won 11 straight, charging right back into this mix. And though they're in the 10th spot and really kind of on the furthest reaches of the outside looking in, that team is playing good basketball right now and should scare you if you're a Pelicans fan if they get back into playoff contention and the mix there. So there at 10, you've got the Clippers, who are 30-26. In the 9 spot, looking like they could make the playoffs too. We've seen them be an issue, and they didn't blow the team up at the trade deadline, which is rather disappointing. And basically every team that played who's in the mix yesterday for a playoff seed has won, so the Pelicans got no favors from any other team around the league right now as they kind of continue this campaign and hit the All-Star break. Denver is going to get some reinforcements back in Paul Millsap coming up. They're tied with the Pelicans for the 7th seed at 31-26. By the way, Pelicans last year had 23 wins at this time, so an 8-game improvement in the win column. And like I said, I think a lot of this now you're starting to see Alvin Gentry really, as the season got tough, and I said Gentry's going to need to do some of the best coaching of his life to keep this Pelicans team afloat. We got to give him credit. He's doing it. The Okafor move has paid tons of dividends, and I didn't even touch on Okafor's impact from the game against the Lakers, and maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow, because he had a major one and was one of the key guys as well, I think, in that big victory over Los Angeles. But they're 8 games over improved from where they were last year, which you've got to really like. Portland's still right above them, a half game ahead of the Pelicans in the 6th seed with a record of 32-26. You're going to hear the number 26 a lot right now. And then you got OKC, a full game above the Pelicans in the 5 seed at 33-26. All these teams won, which is so disappointing. Even Portland killed the Golden State Warriors, or started to kill them, and then managed to hold on for the victory. Look, you don't really want to chase after seeding right now. You have to figure if DeMarcus Cousins is healthy, this team might be really looking at the Spurs and fighting for the 3rd seed in the Western Conference playoff race. That's how competitive they could have been, and that's also how tight it is, because you still got to just worry about getting in. The Pelicans, in theory, control their own destiny. If they just win out, they're probably in. But that's not going to happen, and you're not going to win the rest of your game. So we do need to look at some of these other teams. That Utah team, man, you guys, scares me. They're on 11 straight, 12 straight, something like that, and they are playing some of the better basketball you've seen in the league so far this year. This playoff race is tight. I'm not worried about the Lakers especially anymore. They're 23-33. They're 10 games under 500, and they're 7 games behind basically Utah, who's got 30 wins and has a plus 500 record. So I'm not really worried about this Lakers team whatsoever, and especially when you beat them last night. You're really looking at likely the Utah Jazz or the Clippers being the ones to maybe get in if you look at the standings today. And I'm putting good money on Utah, by the way, getting in. I still hope Portland falls out, but they haven't seemed to do so. And they've got Damian Lillard over his past number of games playing incredibly efficient and high-scoring basketball, and that makes them a scary team. They figured some things out on defense. They're top 10 defense this year. They try and funnel you towards the rim to their rim protectors, particularly Yusuf Nurkic. And they've got some good length on the perimeter with Aminu. You've got Ed Davis as that kind of energetic rebounder. You've got 2 all-star guards almost that can light it up on any given night. And they're just playing solid team defense. And they struggled offensively to start the year. They were in the bottom third. They're now up to 13th in offensive efficiency. Their schedule was easy to start the way. But they've played now their tougher part of the schedule, and they've won most of their games. They're not necessarily going to fall out either. This is going to be a battle until the very, very end of the season. So definitely not what you want to see if you're the Pelicans, but hopefully, you know, this Pelicans team can keep it going because it's going to be tight. They've shown they can compete with the rest of the teams in the league, even now without DeMarcus Cousins. They're still out there winning games. You're getting dominant performances. And if this mindset for Anthony Davis keeps up, you have to figure they're going to keep winning. We'll break down more of the schedule after the All-Star break tomorrow. We'll talk about a few different things with that as well. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the win. Hopefully you feel rejuvenated. Like I said, no games for now, what, 10, 11 days, something like that, 9 days, whatever it comes to. As the next game is going to be the Miami Heat at home on Friday next week. So we'll have a lot of time to talk about different topics that you want to hear on the podcast this upcoming week. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell you guys why I don't like the All-Star game, actually. Not a fan of it. I don't like anything that really goes on with it. I'll give you guys that kind of spiel and rant a little bit here. We'll talk about Emeka Okafor. If you have any topics, let me know on Twitter at Nola Jake what you want to hear about on the podcast, because we got a lot of dead time and airtime to fill. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.